Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In this podcast, we dig into the exact playbooks that ABM practitioners are using today to get their first ABM program off the ground. We'll dig into how they're using their current tech stack in order to create scrappy programs that rely more on creativity than new technologies. So if you're looking for how to get ABM off the ground in your organization in the next 90 days, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to this episode of Scrappy ABM. It's your host, Mason Cosby, and this is another one of those playbook breakdowns from our newsletter audience. So this one goes out to Sean. The ICP is security and compliance for organizations that require FedRAMP authorized signatures, which I didn't know what that was, so I had to Google it. Essentially, that's federal, state, and local governments that have more security and compliance concerns around a cloud-based signature management. So typical departments are HR, procurement, and legal. The core product allow users to send, sign, manage documents electronically. So relatively similar to some of our standard legal signature platforms. And then lastly, primary goal is new logos and sales acceleration in the pipeline. As I look at this, the biggest piece of information that you provided is that this is a FedRAMP authorized solution. I did some quick research on it. Sounds like there's a couple other people in the space that do very similar things. You actually specifically called out some of your competitors. So the challenge is when you call out competitors that are really recognizable, it's hard to compete against those because they've got better brand. So a couple of things that I would just immediately call out. This is something that we did with a client almost a year and a half ago. They were in the email signature management space, which is, again, a relatively commoditized space. So forgive me for saying it that way. But they all have different use cases in functionality. So there's a lot of email signature management platforms, but what we really honed in on is what's the unique differentiator for them that literally no other competitor has. And if you can think about it from that perspective, this comes from the book Good to Great, which is just what's your onlyness statement. So what are you the only person on the market that does this specific thing? So as you look at your solution and you ask the question of your buyers, like, why are you buying? So go look at your customers and maybe review some sales calls and talk with your CS teams and understand, like, why do people actually buy our stuff? Like, what is it about us that people buy? And then ask your CS team, like, why are people renewing or why are people staying? And what you'll find sometimes is we don't even talk about that stuff in the market. Like, they don't find out about it until, like, they're in the sales process, or like they're surprised and delighted after they purchased to find out some things that the CS team does or that the product does that isn't discussed as often. So if you can determine what that thing is and you're the only person in the market that does it, that's the main message for your marketing program. And you look at it through the subset of buyers that you want to go after. So when you look at all of your buyers, why are they buying? And then who are the most likely to buy buyers and what do they look like that buy for this specific functionality or feature or benefit? And if you focus all of your marketing programming specifically on that in the context of ABM, then that's the main thing. So what you end up doing is through the account progression model at the awareness stage, you're talking about the problems that people experience when they don't have this feature or this benefit and how much that hurts them in being able to actually manage their signatures online. And I'll be super clear. The problem isn't that they can't manage their signatures online. That's a relatively known problem that, like, paper processes are antiquated. But build the pain and the problem around the specific benefit that you uniquely have. So if you focus there, that's, like, pretty helpful for then having your ability down the road to frame yourself as the solution. So build the pain, build the problem. And the other thing is people are like, why would you build pains and problems? Like, people don't buy solutions unless they have a problem. And the other thing is I've had people come back and say, like, we're limiting ourselves because we're only focusing on one problem. And it's like, yeah, like, you're limiting yourself to your best buyers and you stand out in a sea of noise because it's, oh, I really resonate with that problem. Like, I really experienced that, which means they're more likely to buy. So if you can focus in on we're the only people in the market that do this, and then your awareness level content and your initial engagement content is really focused on just, like, talking about how painful that problem is. When they get to your website and you then talk about in your headlines or on the landing pages that you actually send to these different buyers, solve this problem, because that's why they're there. They're looking to solve the problem.
it's a faster conversion. And then the other thing is you can use this in your sales cycle. So one of the things that isn't talked about, I don't think enough, is the concept of buyer enablement content. So giving your buyers really easy content to share internally that they can then just showcase and say, hey, we all agree we have this problem. And we're like, oh yeah, that sucks. If we buy this thing, we'll go away. Is that worth it? Probably. Unless your pricing is outrageous, at which point cost of inaction should be more painful than the cost of actually buying and implementing your new tool. So that's a high level thought process, is like really laser focus in on what's the one thing that people actually buy you for that is unique to you and you alone. And then from there, make sure it's actually a benefit. I'm going to call out some people, other people have called this out, but Intercom for a while was talking about like the only AI driven customer chat support platform. And like one, probably not the only. You don't, I used to actually frame us as the only ABM enablement organization. And like when you claim onlyness publicly, it invites challenge. And we don't want to invite challenge to invite doubt. But what we want to do is focus in on like, we're an organization that enables you to run an ABM program on your own long term. Like you work with us, we like build it for you, teach you how to own it, and then like graduate you when you're ready. Nowhere in there do I say we're the only people that do that, because also we might not be. There may be other people in the market that do that. I just like the way that we do it, and our customers do too. So that's what we focus in on from our marketing, is like education and enablement so people can own their own ABM programs. And if you think about that for your market, what is that for you? And you can nail that, and then it's actually real and relevant for your buyers and they care about it. That's the goal. But don't tell people that's the only, don't say we're the only people that do this, unless you really want to stand by it. Because the other thing is with Intercom specifically, like some people called them out, and this is not original thoughts, just seeing a lot of people talk about this, but what's the benefit to being the only AI driven whatever? Like everyone and their mother right now seems to be throwing AI into their platform. So is it actually helpful? Maybe, but is that the differentiator that you want to claim as your onlyness? Probably not. So if you are going to claim it publicly, make sure it's actually a benefit and a feature that people care about, because that's the only thing that you've got different from your competitors, and it doesn't matter to the buyers. Shooting yourself in the foot. So long and short, if I'm in your shoes, get a little bit more specific on like exactly what you do for these individual organizations. The other thing is you're talking about HR, procurement, and legal. I can almost guarantee that they all have different needs. So like I'd focus in on one and then potentially do it as an expansion play to get into then procurement and legal or HR. But just get really specific, really honed in, identify what is the actual onlyness for you and build the program around that, so that people, when they run into the problem that they need to solve, you're the first person they think of, specific for your market. So hopefully that's helpful. If there's any thoughts or questions, always feel free to let us know. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Scrappy ABM, and we will see you in the next one. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. If you're looking for more content just like this, I highly recommend you go subscribe to our newsletter. We release weekly playbooks so that you have the actionable ways in which you can start to build an ABM program today. Just go to scrappyabm.com/newsletter to subscribe. And if you enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate if you'd leave a 5-star review and hit the notification bell so you never miss an episode. I look forward to seeing you in the next one.